This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You're listening to the Momwell Podcast. Today, I am excited to welcome Dr. Heather Hirsch to the show. Dr. Heather is the founder of the Menopause and Midlife Clinic and author of Unlock Your Menopause Type. There are a lot of areas in women's health that still feel taboo to talk about, and menopause is definitely one of them. It's something we all know is coming, but we don't really understand what to expect. Television portrays menopause as hot flashes or night sweats. But the reality is that menopause and perimenopause can come with so much more, including a big impact on our mental health. And the more we understand these symptoms, the better we can advocate for ourselves and receive the treatment we need. Today, Dr. Heather and I break down perimenopause and menopause and discuss the physical and mental health symptoms that can occur. We talk about why women's health is often dismissed or minimized. Dr. Heather breaks down 6 types of menopause she discusses in her book and how they present, and we discuss treatment options and how to advocate for yourself. But before jumping in, let's hear our iTunes review of the week. This review comes from Mama Ox, and it's titled, "I Finally Understand So Much." Erica and her guests have taught me so much over the last couple of years. I'm currently pregnant with my 3rd and struggled a lot after my 1st was born. I didn't know how to comprehend what I was going through. When I found this podcast, I finally felt seen, understood, and not alone. I am stronger because of this community and truly cannot thank Erica and her guests enough. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave this review. I understand all too well what it's like to struggle with that 1st postpartum period. It took me until my 3rd to get diagnosed with postpartum depression, and I wish I had the knowledge and awareness earlier. I'm so glad that you have felt seen and understood, and I hope that it helps you navigate life with your new baby and do motherhood differently. If you're out there listening, please take a quick moment to leave a review. It makes a big difference in what guests we bring on and what we cover. I want to make sure that we're always providing value and discussing what you need most. Now let's hear my conversation with Dr. Heather Hirsch. Welcome to the Momwell Podcast, where we're committed to helping you cope with the load of motherhood. I'm your host, registered psychotherapist, and founder of Momwell, Erica Jossa. At Momwell, we know that motherhood is hard, but care shouldn't be. We're committed to providing you with knowledge, tools, and support to navigate the challenges of motherhood. Our mission is to put moms back on the priority list and empower them to create a mental wellness toolbox free from judgment, fear, and shame. On the show, we'll be discussing topics such as postpartum depression, identity loss, the mental load of motherhood, and more. We'll be joined by experts, moms, and professionals who can offer advice, practical tips, relatable stories, and honest conversations. Here at Momwell, we believe that when a mom is well, a baby is well. So join us as we discuss the topics that matter to you with experts who get it. Together, we can redefine motherhood and change the way moms are treated. Dr. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I think it was TikTok that put me onto your work and your book and your platform. My For You page thinks I am perimenopausal or menopausal right now, apparently, because of all the hormone content and things I've been taking in. But thank you for joining us. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. It's always so fun to be a guest on someone else's show so I can kind of tap into people who maybe have not heard about, you know, some of the things that I'm so passionate about. So thank you for having me.
I'm so curious to know the journey of narrowing down and focusing on menopause and hormone replacement therapy and how you found your way to this specialty. Was it something that you went into school knowing that you wanted to niche down in, or did it evolve over time?
You know, I always joke around. I never for a second said, I'm going to go be a menopause doctor. And I don't think probably anyone else actually says that either. So when I was in college, I dual majored in women's studies and biology.
Okay.
And it was kind of on accident. You know, you have to take enough arts to still fulfill all of the things that you need to do for the science. But I fell in love with women's studies. And then I always wanted to take care of women. So I went to medical school and I said, well, to take care of women, I have to go into OBGYN. So I went into OBGYN and I did a year delivering babies and doing obstetrics, which I loved. But truth be told, I didn't like certain aspects of that field, like surgery or staying up in the middle of the night. And a lot of my colleagues did. So I switched careers and switched residencies into internal medicine. So I became ultimately board certified in internal medicine. And as soon as I did that, everyone kind of knew me in the hospital as like the OB girl who's, you know, now in internal medicine. So they would come to me with all of these questions like, can I give a pregnant lady Tylenol? Can I give someone who's pregnant Zyrtec? Can you help me with this yeast infection? Like, I don't know how to treat that. And I was like, guys, you're so smart. You're so brilliant. Like, these are not difficult things. But immediately I saw this like gap between OBGYNs who are really good at surgery and delivering babies and internists who really wanted to avoid anything in the pelvic area.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2014, I did advanced women's health fellowship training. And that's where I really fell in love with midlife women's health care. And that was partially because my mentor, Dr. Thacker at the Cleveland Clinic, who's still there, also focuses on menopause. And I could not believe that women were coming to Cleveland, which we dubbed the Mistake on the Lake, from all over the country for support, for help, for this mysterious thing that was happening to women in their 40s and 50s.
Mm.
And being that I always wanted to take care of women, I realized that we do know a lot about pregnancy and a lot about birth control, but I didn't ever hear the word perimenopause and menopause, barely muttered in my really good OB residency and my really good internal medicine residency. And as I helped to treat her patients, the satisfaction of helping women through the perimenopause to menopause journey, it was just through the roof. So I always say, like, I don't deliver babies anymore, but I help deliver women into like their fullest, highest self.
Mm.
And it has really just become the love of my life. It's such an addicting type of medicine to practice because I really get to meet women, hear them, listen to them. I don't have to run off and deliver baby or do surgery and help support them with this mysterious thing, which is our hormones, which has been happening since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
Help them learn about their bodies, help them feel better, and just watch them regain so many of the things that they were wanting, whether it was like sleeping well or exercising again or going out with friends or having sex with their partners or feeling happy, feeling present. And I get to do that every single day. So that's kind of my story of how I ended up doing midlife women's health.
It's so fascinating to me. As you're talking, you're saying you went through the OB-GYN residency and all the trainings that you had and hadn't really encountered thorough training on perimenopause and menopause. I'm like, this is something that like all women with a uterus will go through and it affects like 51% of the population. And how is this not a part of standard healthcare? Like, is beyond my, you know, ability to comprehend, one, just the gaps in healthcare for women's health. Just that's a whole soapbox that I could get on for maybe on another day.
Mm-hmm.
Just the gap and how you had to go, I say so niche, but like so specialized to get to this place when really like this impacts everybody so broadly.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're saying it's a really rewarding population to work with because a few like little changes can go such a long way, right? And really restore a quality of life that maybe is being impacted or is lacking because of some of the symptoms that we'll get into today.
It should make you mad.
Yeah.
I say to my patients when I think there's an old TikTok somewhere where I said, oftentimes the first visit back to see me, my patients are like, I feel so good and I'm so freaking mad.
Yeah.
You mean all it took was this little patch or X, Y, or Z? And like, this has been kept from me for years. Nobody knows about this. This is crazy. And I'm like, I know you're mad. Great. You have crossed the threshold into really feeling how crazy it is that something that happens to everyone on planet Earth who is born female, nobody has really been talking about. It's wild to say.
Like erectile dysfunction, we've got medications for, we've got figured out, but perimenopause that affects every midlife woman, maybe comparatively to how that impacts midlife men. And we got nothing. We barely, the research I'm sure is probably growing and emerging as women's health is starting to get more attention, but still it is enraging and it just makes me want to shake people. But that's why I so much appreciate work like yours and being able to use platforms like TikTok. Like, I love to see professionals who are credentialed and have this expertise take it and shout it from the rooftops so that we can know how to advocate for ourselves. Because one of the things that I cannot quite wrap my mind around is hormone therapy, hormone replacement therapy, what it's for, who does it, all of that, which I know that we're going to get into today. But before that, why don't we start with maybe just defining perimenopause and menopause? Because when I think about it and when I hear those terms, I think about hot flashes. I think about, I don't know why forgetfulness comes to mind, or maybe brain fog. I just think about, I don't know, my mom or like my aunties like fanning themselves or their shirts, like popping their shirts, trying to like get a break. That's pretty much the context that most of us have, I think, before we go into it and start to do more research for ourselves. So can we define that out the gate?
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, these definitions are not even well understood. And if you think about the fact that these definitions are still kind of confusing, there again, in lies the fact that you should feel enraged. So it's easiest to go backwards. So menopause is 1 year of no periods, although that's not always easy. Some women have had hysterectomies, but their ovaries kept in until they can't use periods. Some women have IUDs and they don't get periods. Some women have had ablations for heavy bleeding, so they don't have periods. Some women are on continuous birth control and they don't get periods. So even that in of itself, sometimes it's not always easy to know when menopause is. And there are some lab work that can help. And the most helpful could be an elevation of your follicle stimulating hormone or FSH level.
Okay.
But the main definition is a year of no periods. And common symptoms like that we see in movies, hot flashes, tossing and turning at night, night sweats, vaginal dryness, just dry skin, dry hair, those kinds of things. But the more common symptoms that are more uncommonly discussed is things like joint aches and pains, dizziness, nausea, bloating, oh my gosh, irrational fears, a huge spike in anxiety. And these that are less commonly known to be associated with menopause and just the hormonal decline in general often get misdiagnosed for women because no one's thinking about the obvious thing. Because again, this is not well taught in schools, in medical schools and nursing schools and residencies. And so women are getting diagnosed with anxiety, depression, even bipolar, arthritis, so many diagnoses and just going round and round, all of a sudden seeing all these doctors, getting all these tests, using the healthcare system, trying to figure out what is this mysterious thing? That's why they came to the Cleveland Clinic. What is this mysterious thing that's happening to me?
Right.
Perimenopause and menopause. So perimenopause is all that time leading up to menopause, all the time leading up to your 1 year of no periods. And what's really important about perimenopause is that these same symptoms, both the common and the uncommon, can happen in perimenopause. But that's even more confusing for clinicians and patients because they're like, well, it's not menopause. I'm still having periods.
Right.
But you can still be having periods and having these symptoms in perimenopause. And perimenopause can last a really long time. And I think for your audience of women, you can get glimpses of this postpartum when our hormones are rapidly declining and then they're a little volatile as maybe we're either breastfeeding or we're stopping breastfeeding. And it's such a common thing. But because for so long, it's really never been on the table, literally in medical schools and training or for women to talk about and discuss, it's been masked as all these other things. You just need more sleep. You just need a glass of wine. You just need a spa day. Right. You're just so overwhelmed. You're just so busy. There's so many things that society tells us we're not maybe doing right or we're crazy or you know, et cetera, when there is a huge physiologic hormonal decline that is happening in our bodies that has been ignored for all of time.
Want to get smarter about your health but feel overwhelmed trying to separate fact from fiction? We hear a lot about gut health, microbiomes, and other nutrition topics, but taking the time to research these is exhausting, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. The Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast makes it so much easier to get the information you need. With the help of world-leading scientists, the podcast gives you research-based information so you can make informed choices for yourself without pressure and guilt. People are loving Zoe Science and Nutrition. Listener Stephanie's Apple review says the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is a life-changing, science-based, myth-busting podcast. That's a must-listen for anyone who eats food and wants to understand how it affects their body. With the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, you can join Stephanie and millions of others accessing quality information about their health. Find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Mealtime with kids can be stressful, but with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, it can be a lot easier. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. No worrying about ingredients and nutrition, no prep, no mess, and no cooking while wrangling toddlers. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Factor can even be tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Take the stress out of meals with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/momwell50 and use code momwell50 to get 50% off your first box. It gets me so amped up. My interest was really put on menopause as somebody who works in like the perinatal space. When I came across some research that was talking about how if you've had postpartum depression or anxiety, potentially that is because you are more hormonally sensitive. And so you might be high risk then for fluctuations and mood disruptions in perimenopause and menopause. And I was like, okay, I have a duty here to understand this and to prepare my community and my audience for this, right? And then I also, through some more reading, understood that ADHD might also be a subset that is more sensitive to hormone disruptions like PMS and PMDD and also perimenopause and all of that. I'm also neurodivergent in ADHD, so it's a big topic in our community. And so in trying to understand it, it's like everything under the sun feels like it can be put in the perimenopause bucket. And because, as you mentioned, the marker of the year without a period, knowing whether what you are experiencing can be attributed to perimenopause or not feels like a cruel mind game that we're playing with ourselves. Because like, what do you anchor that in actually? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I have some thoughts here on this. And you bring up such a good point. And one of the things that I'm most proud of about my book, which is more about menopause, but I'm working on a perimenopause, is the mental health changes, just like you touched on. And if you take a step back, the fact that we call these our sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, is such a disservice because the amount of receptors that we have for estrogen and testosterone and progesterone in the brain is really quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
We know that estrogen plays a role in our prefrontal cortex, decision-making, memory, recall, processing speed in our hippocampus, memories in our hypothalamus is our core body temperature. So of course, they play such a big role in changes in mood, spikes in anxiety, worsening ADHD. And so how do you know if it is just a busy month or something is different from baseline?
Mm-hmm.
One of my tricks on this, I guess. I don't know if it's a trick, but one of my recommendations, I guess that's probably the better word,
yeah,
is to start taking inventory and tracking. And probably better to do that sooner rather than later. And by tracking, this is something you can spend 3 minutes on a day or, you know, 3 minutes on every couple of days, but sort of thinking through, how am I sleeping? How is my mood? What are my periods doing?
Mm-hmm.
How are some of my symptoms? For someone, it might be like, how well am I focusing? How much of my tasks am I getting done? For someone else, it might be, how present am I with my kids? How joyful did I feel at certain points of the day? For me, it's, have I exercised? Am I in the mood to exercise? I'm someone that used to wait the whole day in anticipation to go exercise. And now that I'm into perimenopause, I've noticed like, I just don't want to. It doesn't feel as good. And that could just be because now my life is a lot fuller. Mm. But if I'm starting to notice some trends of like, it's worse before my period, it's great right after my period, I'm starting to see some of these cyclic effects of perimenopause that are kind of coming into play. And it sounds so obvious, like, okay, well, I'll track, but we are so busy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what women will also do is, for example, me, I'll tell you my perimenopause journey. We all spend a little time in denial. We're like, it's just hot in here. Like we just turned on the heater for this. We just turned it on for the winter. You know, we're like, of course, that's why we're hot. It's just, we just turn the heat on. And then you're like, well, of course I'm crabby. It's the holidays. Like I'm doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chunk of time we all spend in denial because also that means like we might have to think about like aging or like changing bodies, which no matter what I've found, we're all like super helpful to want to discuss with our friends. But then when it's you and just you in the mirror, you're like, oh gosh, you know, you have to face what all of that means, like, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, we're not 22 anymore, even though I feel 22 or I think I'm 22 or maybe, you know, we're not still just fresh out of high school like we feel we are or whatever.
We all have that moment. Me and my husband just had that moment where I was like, I have to get into a regular exercise routine again. Like I can't just bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to have that moment where we're like, we have aged, even though in our minds, we still feel 22.
Yeah.
So tracking and journaling, to summarize, kind of that long-winded thought process, but also thinking through how you can dissect these things out. Journaling and tracking, especially as you start to see cyclic patterns, will help you. And especially if you can correlate them with how they're affecting your quality of life, because ultimately that's really the crucial part, is when it is affecting your quality of life. If you're saying, I'm not present with my kids, I'm barely present, I'm forcing myself, or I'm not eating well, and I've gone so far off the rails, I don't feel good about this. Those are the things that are really important.
Yeah. It's interesting because I went through an experience recently where made this link between my cycles and my ADHD symptoms and my mood, and was like, is this PMDD? Is it not? I don't know, but I can see a distinct change in my irritability and my like lack of capacity very distinctly and significantly enough that it, you know, wasn't enjoyable, was impacting my life from ovulation through till my period. And my periods were like shrinking in like the distance apart. Like I used to have a 36-day cycle fairly regularly, between 36 and 38 days or whatever. And it got down to like 28 days more regularly. And I'm just like, I spend so much of my time annoyed, like this isn't helpful for me, right? And so one of the solutions that I came up with, or that my doctor and I came up with, was to just go on birth control and see if that helps because of the hormone cycling.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can I tell you how I'm like, oh, every day is just a sunny day. I'm not riding waves of just chaos and irritability and whatever. It has really changed that cycle that I was going through each month, that I think once I got on the birth control really made it that much more apparent that I can just consistently bank on myself functioning the way that I do right now and not have to prepare to adjust to functioning so differently. And so I can't wait to jump into the role of hormones and hormone therapy here and all of that. But I think it'd be helpful first to go through your menopause types, because I think it gives context to the different ways that this can show up or where people are in the stages. So do we want to do a quick overview of those?
Oh, sure. I would love to. Thinking through the types, it starts with premature and early menopause. And this is really important because if you are listening to the show and you have had menopause before age 45, this is much different than natural menopause. I think there was a period of time where if you were 38 and you went through menopause, your doctors were like, oh, okay, guess you don't have to buy pads anymore. But this is extremely problematic because we know that the gold standard of care is hormone replacement therapy, because actually without it, you're at increased risk for cardiovascular disease, bone loss, mood changes, brain fog, cognitive changes, as well as symptoms that just start so early. So if you are younger, you should be on hormone replacement therapy. There's so many myths about HRT. It is extremely safe, and the risks definitely are far greater if you don't take HRT. far greater. Mm. They're so much greater that it's not even, you can't even compare them. You should be on an HRT, just like if you were a diabetic, type 1 diabetic, and you didn't make insulin, you should be on insulin. So that's the premature and early type.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The second is sudden menopause. And this is typically a result of something that just put you into menopause, like poof, overnight. And that typically is surgery.
Mm.
And younger women are having a lot of ovarian removal for high-risk mutations for breast cancer, BRCA1, BRCA2. Angelina Jolie had that. Or other high-risk mutations that are doctors recommend oophorectomies.
Hmm.
Could be chemotherapy if you have a diagnosis of cancer. It could be ovaries removed not for cancer, but something like endometriosis or some other reason, ovarian cysts.
Yeah, I feel like I've had girlfriends where their doctor said, like, we can trigger menopause for you also as a treatment to, I can't recall exactly what the situation was, but it would essentially like induce menopause for them. And so I imagine that would be fairly sudden if it's sort of being medically
sudden,
induced, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. That's a medication called Lupron or a GnRH agonist that actually basically will shut your ovaries down. And it's an interesting conversation about this medication because oftentimes doctors are prescribing it to stop endometrial pain from endometriosis, which is great.
Yeah.
But they forget to kind of tell women that, like, oh, and it might give you hot flashes and it might, it basically is also going to put you into menopause in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly a great example of something that puts women into sudden menopause. And what does that mean for them?
Mm-hmm.
Next is full throttle, which is exactly what it sounds like. Kind of like symptoms from head to toe, you know, hair loss and brain fog and sleep disturbances and irritability and weight gain and joint aches and pains, just vaginal dryness, head to toe. And really, you know, we want to treat you for that because there is no medal for sticking out a terrible perimenopause or menopause. And you're a great example of that. We'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The mind-altering menopause type is all about the mental health changes I alluded to, and you had brought up surrounding perimenopause, such as worsening ADHD, trouble concentrating, trouble with processing speed, memory, all of those things, worsening anxiety and depression. I clinically see those so commonly, and women are often really misdiagnosed and therefore potentially mistreated. There's the seemingly never ending, which is especially for menopause. So I'm talking women, maybe this is, you know, if you've got a mom or an auntie, like their symptoms just never, ever seem to go away. And what's important to know is that about 10% of women, it could be higher, will have symptoms that last their entire life. They don't stop.
Like, I can't. Because if men were dealing with this issue, like, we would have so many resolutions, or at least there would be funds dedicated to researching and understanding, like, what can be done, you know? Like, the fact that HRT and all of this is really just starting to gain some momentum and spotlight just, again, brings me back to the rage we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine, like, the quality of life impact that that has for them is just mind-boggling to me.
We treat men and women so differently. It doesn't matter what country you're in. This globe treats men and women differently, and men with a lot more focus on quality of life than women. Mm. Women are really, the message has constantly been, oh, sweetie, you'll get through it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what, pick anything, periods, pregnancies, deliveries. I mean, all the things we go through.
Yeah.
And we've just really been told it's natural. It's natural. You know, we all go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way of just avoiding discussing the issues that women are having. And it's nothing short of sexist. There's just no other good way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just men that are doing it. It's women doctors that are doing it to women patients. It's just so ingrained in us. We just can't even see it.
It's the air we breathe, right? It's the norms we live in. And you know, we're working to undo those norms. You and I, we will join forces after today. We'll both continue to chip away at those norms. But
yeah,
I see that. And the last one is the silent type, right?
The last one's the silent type. And I thought when I was writing the book that this would be the most sort of boring chapter, but actually I found it to be the most interesting in interviews, which is really all about, say you're the lucky person that never has a hot flash or you never have perimenopause or you're like, I just skirted right through it. your body still changes on the inside, your heart health, your bones, your brain, your pelvic floor. And if symptoms have one benefit, it's to kind of tell you like something's not going right over here. And if you're feeling well, you're not having symptoms, that kudos, congratulations. But what do you still need to know about menopause for your long-term health? And the same thing could be true of perimenopause in the book that I'm currently writing now. If you're skirting through perimenopause, great, but like, what should you know about the upcoming chapter? Mm-hmm. They're not always the same. Perimenopause and menopause are not always bad, bad, fine, fine. They can actually really flip-flop. It's very common from my worldview that if you have a, you know, rough perimenopause, you'll have an easier menopause and vice versa. So, you know, it's very interesting if you're not having symptoms and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't need to listen to this. There's so much that is just fascinating to know about how our bodies change that we never learned.
When you are busy with little ones, managing finances can seem so stressful. Things like budgeting and remembering to call and cancel old subscriptions often fall through the cracks. But Rocket Money makes things easier for busy moms with too much on their plates. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help you cancel it with just a few taps, which means no more trying to cram phone calls into nap time. Rocket Money even shows you your monthly spending and helps you create a custom budget and stay on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/momwell. That's rocketmoney.com/momwell. rocketmoney.com/momwell. Mom rage often leads us to feeling ashamed, but the truth is that our rage doesn't mean we're bad moms. In fact, anger is a sign from our bodies that our needs aren't being met. As moms and therapists, Dr. Ashiri Naream, Psyched Mommy, and I understand mom rage. We know that we all lose our cool sometimes. And we also know that with the right tools and strategies in place, those moments happen less often. We've teamed up and combined our years of experience to create All the Rage, Raising Kids with Less Anger and More Connection, a course designed to be your go-to resource for preventing and handling your anger. We dive into what causes your anger, how it impacts your body, how to reframe your thinking, and how to stay calm in triggering moments. And because we are all human, we also include strategies for repairing after we inevitably lose our cool. In honor of Maternal Mental Health Week, you can save $20 on the course with promo RAGE20 this week only. Don't miss out on your chance to save and make a positive change. Head to momwell.com/rage and save with code RAGE20. That's momwell.com/rage, code RAGE20. It's so interesting. And I like the types to help understand the different things that we can be experiencing. And I really resonated with that more mental and emotional type, as like that was my postpartum and perinatal experience. I suspect my menopause, perimenopause experience will probably mirror that to some degree, likely resonates with a lot of our community here as well, because they probably sought us out during similar experiences to mine. And it opens my mind up to the treatments and how we work with this, being hormone replacement therapy and HRT and or hormone therapy. And yeah, I have so many questions. I have so many question marks. Like, who is qualified to speak to hormone replacement therapy? Like, the doctors that sort of are specialists or that own this space? Is it just to treat menopause? Or is this used in other treatments of other physical or mental health things? Like, all the questions, because I've never really encountered this as a treatment option before learning about perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah. And to some of your points, you're generations ahead of like even the baby boomers who had no idea that having a history of either postpartum anxiety, depression could show up later in perimenopause and menopause. And so as you're journaling and tracking, you'll be watching that. And the other thing that you realize is that you found it as treatment, which is birth control pills now. I like to call birth control pills perimenopause pills. And it's sort of because actually the way birth control pills work is what they really do is they take that up and down of your own body swinging, which is great if our sole purpose is to get pregnant every month. But guess what? Now it's not. Mm-hmm. And so it actually just stabilizes those hormones. That's all it's doing. It's really just stabilizing it so you don't have those swings up and down. And therefore, you're not as susceptible to that volatility in hormones. Mm-hmm. And the volatility gets worse in perimenopause. That's what makes perimenopause perimenopause, the volatility, and then actually the decline in both estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Because they're keeping those levels steady, and because they don't swing, we don't ovulate. And so if we don't ovulate, there's no egg, there's no egg, there's no pregnancy. So actually, preventing pregnancy is actually a side effect of how they work. Primarily, they work to just keep hormone levels nice and steady. And we don't have to talk about birth control pills or perimenopause pills for too long, but I do just want to say they really can be a great treatment option. And especially with the rise of social media and so many people weighing in on like, you know, these are bad, these are good. You know, I almost can't even listen to the discourse because I feel like it's just giving people a reason to talk about something that they, unless they're doctors,
exactly,
they should really kind of be talking about.
A lot of misinformation, a lot of gets picked up by the supplement world, a lot of stuff that just makes it feel like it lacks the credibility and the science. And so it gets, I don't know, it starts to tarnish the real actual treatment power here when there's actually a lot to support this as a treatment.
We've created a society where now women secretly feel so shamed typically about, oh my gosh, I feel like, well, you know, I guess I'll just have to do these birth control pills, or I can't, you know, they're bad. They don't even know why, or they feel ashamed if they take HRT because they're told it's bad for them, or then their friends shame them for not taking HRT. I mean, it's just like we can do no right here.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, and for all of your listeners, the best way to find out what's right for you is simple. It's to try it. It's a trial period. Mm. And so if I'm doing a treatment, for example, birth control pills, perimenopause pills, you know, if you do those for 6 to 8 weeks and you're like, didn't like it, didn't work with my body, okay, we turn them off.
Yeah.
And now we know. And now we actually have more information about your body. You are like, oh, I've noticed I'm actually so much more stable. Mm-hmm. I've noticed my productivity is better. You can list off the things that you were kind of wanting to see would improve. And that's exactly it. So whether it's birth control pills as a form of hormone therapy, which it is,
okay,
or if it's postmenopausal hormone therapy, or if we want to go to some of the other things out there, let's say you want to seed cycle. I can't tell you I know too much about seed cycling, but let's say you're just down that rabbit hole. Do it for 6 to 8 weeks. And if you're like, that did nothing, okay, not for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really how we need to know. We cannot use other people's experiences, because I'll tell you, after having had treated thousands of women with hormonal therapies, everyone is so different. And you cannot predict who's going to do well on what. And so the idea of trialing either this plan or this plan, if you have a really good doctor, they use, you know, I use a lot of shared decision making, and I say, we could try this route or we could try this route, you know, and if it works, amazing. We've hit the nail on the head. If it doesn't, we've learned, and now we'll try another plan. So you just kind of got to try and see.
Yeah.
In terms of postmenopausal hormone therapy, that can also be used in perimenopause. And this is a place where there's also a lot of myths and misconceptions. The difference is that postmenopausal hormone therapy, it won't stop the up and down. Your body will still do that, but it will buffer it a little bit. Whereas birth control pills, we're going to really steady that level out. And I find, not always, but in early perimenopause, birth control pills tend to be a little bit more effective. And then in later perimenopause, where you're really skipping tons and tons and tons and tons of periods, postmenopausal hormone therapy can work better. But again, all totally individualized.
It's really making it feel more accessible and clear to me that you can go to, for example, here in Canada, our family doctors or primary care are essentially kind of the gatekeepers to other specialists. So I can't just go book in with an OB-GYN who specializes in menopause or like whatever. It's a little bit gatekept. So it can sometimes feel a little bit helpless to access the care that you need when your family doctor has zero understanding of, you know, women's hormones or whatever. So it feels a little bit more accessible or empowering to know that in the perimenopause stage, birth control and trying out a couple of different birth controls can be an accessible option that doesn't take a lot of convincing or educating your provider about, because the science is there, they're approved, it's a common thing that they use, and that it's an option to try. Because when I made this link between hormones and my moods, I was like, wait, where do I start? Who do I even speak with about this connection, right? And luckily, birth control, I kind of pushed for it. Like when you're done having children and it's a medication you're randomly asking to go on that you haven't been on in years, it's kind of like, well, why and what, whatever. But it made such a difference. So
yeah,
that being a entry-level way just feels a little bit more accessible in this kind of wild, wild west that we're navigating.
Truthfully, we're in a day and age where with the rise of social media, Instagram, TikTok, how we found each other, and your feed being filled with it,
yeah,
women patients know more than their doctors. Mm. They really do. Or they feel ready to say like, I want to talk about this or I want to talk about that. And so I have a couple of tips and tricks on this, if you'd like to hear those.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. The first one is, if you are learning a lot from social media, you can therefore almost truly start to know a little bit more about your doctor. Sometimes, you know, patients will say, I went to my, you know, cardiologist, Dr. Hirsch, and he said that, you know, this hormone therapy was, you know, so dangerous for my heart, but you tell me it's like so safe. And, you know, I think it is. And I'm like, right. You know, first of all, there's no incentive for doctors to relearn hormone therapy and menopause. And the reason there's no incentive is that it actually is basically going to make them lose money. Hmm. Let me just tell you how that happens. It's because whether we like this or not, but specialties that are primarily talking and counseling do not make money, whereas procedures and surgeries and chemos and all of that stuff, you can, that's not terribly hard to imagine. Hmm. But so now think if a burned out physician who's so busy is going to take the time to relearn the safety of hormone therapy, have to then counsel you about the millions of questions that you have, and then be way behind, and then be late, and then get more messages. Like they're actually de-incentivized to learn. And so you kind of just need to go in and say, I want to go back on birth control. And they'll say, oh, why? You'll be like, well, I mean, couldn't I still get pregnant? And they'll be like, yes, you could. And you'll be like, okay. And you kind of almost, I'm having this revelation as we're talking.
Yeah.
It's almost like, how can you take the knowledge that you have and just actually just make the conversation quicker? Because you might actually feel more confident and knowledgeable than your doctor at that moment in time. Another example of this is I talk a lot about on social media, hormone therapy for mood disruptions. Mm-hmm. And it could be birth control or it could be postmenopausal hormone therapy. And I got the comment recently that said, yeah, I know you see that it helps, but my doctor won't prescribe it unless I have hot flashes. Mm. And I can't believe I'm going to say this publicly, but I think it's time.
I'm here for it.
You walk in, you know what I'm going to say? And you tell them you're having hot flashes. You know, I mean, it's silly because if they're as gatekeepers, now I'm also not saying lie, but I'm also like, you know, it's so silly. But if we need to navigate the system the way they know how to do it from like 20 years ago, then we got to pull some strings over on the other side, because it's not fair that you have to suffer when a treatment could be helpful. But they're like, well, I can't give this to you. I'm going to gatekeep because you're not having hot flashes. Yeah. Someone else commented, like, I just told my doctor that I had hot flashes. And I was like, I'm not saying don't.
Yeah,
do
I'm
that.
Not saying. Yeah,
so, exactly. You know, I hate that I even have to go that far, but you know, this is the problem. Women are learning more and their doctors are de-incentivized to relearn this, understand it, and then do it well. And that's where we are in 2024. I think it's going to shift, but what does that mean right now? If you're in perimenopause right now, you know, that's kind of the current state. If you're premenopausal, but you're sort of got this on your radar, like now is a great time to just kind of learn and absorb and track, because I do think hopefully it's going to get better and better and better with each passing year.
Mm-hmm. It speaks so true to my experience that I had with my doctor, because I had understood hormone replacement therapy as being a possible solution to this volatile sort of roller coaster that I was on, and brought it up in conversation. And he was kind of like, well, you know, like how things are in research and how they are in clinical practice and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, so if my ADHD is riding in cycles due to my cycle and my period, what is your recommendation then? What would you do if we're disregarding like HRT or hormone, or like what is your treatment plan then? He's like, well, we can trial you on birth control. And so I was like, so hormones, that's what you're telling me is like your solution, you know? And I just like, I had to massage the situation. And it's a fine line, because I'm not trying to come in with more knowledge than you. Like, I'm a licensed clinician myself. I respect your experience within its own right. And I'm not trying to self-diagnose either, but I know that I am willing, and I'm saying to you, I'm willing to try a treatment plan of some kind, because this is impactful enough that like I need to, or I feel like I should. And so it's not that I'm trying to like self-diagnose, or I'm trying to trump your authority or designation or knowledge or experience, but also if you're shooting down my plan, then what is your plan? Because I'm telling you, this is a problem.
I love that story. And you're so kind. One of the things I've started doing in my practice, and I started actually doing this a long time ago, but I'll always, you know, my patients will come in and I'll say, I bet you've been reading, you know, I bet you've been on social media. Like, do you have any guesses as to what might help? And 9 times out of 10, whatever they're going to say, that's what I'm going to lean into. Because that's kind of what they're already thinking about. They know their body better than I do. I know there's no one size that fits all. I know that we're going to do a trial and learn about our bodies.
Right.
So that question to me has been so valuable. So wouldn't it have been great if your doctor was like, you know, as you're coming in, you're like, I'm having this and I'm having this. And, and instead they just said, you know, I know this sounds silly, but I kind of wonder, you're really intelligent. Like, do you have any guesses? And you would have been like, I do. I'm thinking about maybe trialing birth control pills and how much more confidence and ease that would instill. Not to say, oh, look at me, but, you know, I hope we move into more shared decision-making.
Right.
That would be so crucial. And I see our mental health providers do that so well. If clinicians could model more of that.
Right.
Get out of their stubborn old ways and this stubborn sort of like, you know, well, I learned this and so this is gold. If we could get out of that, it would help so much.
And as we think about this being an accessible option to trial and start, especially it sounds like in perimenopause, or I had Dr. Jen Gunter on recently, and she's like, you could ride out birth control until you're like, you know, would be past menopause potentially and stay on it, which is my plan. Let's just be clear. I'm going to ride this out as long as I can.
Yeah.
But then for those who maybe feel that that is not working, or maybe they're past perimenopause and feel like they're in menopause, if they are speaking to their general provider and they're not really getting anywhere, where do they go or who do they seek out from there?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wish there's as many hormone specialists as there were cardiologists. And someone even said to me the other day, like, this should be its own specialty. And I was like, it kind of is becoming, I mean, I did a fellowship, but it wasn't what we call accredited, and probably the same thing in Canada. So there isn't too many specialists. That's the problem. And many of us are trying, you know, to educate doctors via social media, or I teach a course for doctors and got a few Canadians in my class. But there is Menopause Society. So I know that there's probably the Canadian Menopause Society. There's the North American Menopause Society. And some doctors go on to get this society certification. You can always ask for a second opinion. There's definitely a lot of startups and companies and businesses doing telemedicine for menopause and perimenopause. You know, it's a little, I don't want to say buyer beware, but no, it is a little buyer beware. There's a company that does non-approved compounded HRT. And how is the patient supposed to know? You know, I think the medical community has failed women. So as we're trying to make up for the decades in which we ignored this topic completely, mm-hmm. you know, women can really use as many of the resources at their fingertips, whether it's great books about menopause, going in armed to talk to your doctor, seeking a second opinion. In my book, I wrote like how to start the conversation with your doctor. I even said the little tip of like, exaggerate your hot flashes. It sounds like silly to say, but those are the things that we have right now. Mm-hmm. There are telehealth companies and telemedicine companies. And so I think a lot of young clinicians too are really becoming interested in this topic mm-hmm. because they're seeing how satisfying of a career it is. They're seeing how wonderful it is to treat women and just how interesting the physiology is. So I really do think if you can hang in a few years, it's probably going to be better. Mm-hmm. But those are sort of my tips and tricks for now if you're just not getting anywhere with your doctor. But last thing mm-hmm. is don't feel afraid to push back on your doctor, because only by doing that are your doctors going to sit around when someone asks them, what do you want? You know, who do you want to come speak at Grand Rounds? And they're going to be like, you know, everyone's asking about hormone therapy. Like, can we bring in someone to talk? So don't feel like you're annoying people. You have to, you know, tell them, you have to keep talking about it so that ultimately they start to say like, okay, I think there is something happening and I need to learn more about this.
Mm-hmm. Because when we don't have those professionals or the MDs and the evidence-backed clinicians, then I see we have a lot of voices coming up to try and fill the space and fill the gap.
Yeah.
And they're not credentialed, or I see a lot of naturopaths and chiropractors and various people step in because it's such a need and it resonates and it's such a pain point with people.
Yeah.
And so some of these voices are emerging, or like supplements, like you said, that are compound, not FDA approved, like all the things. And that's the risk we run when there is a gap that has a need that needs to be filled and we aren't filling it with our evidence-backed,
much, you know, needed, yes,
yeah,
evidence-based practices around the proper, efficient, and safe use of hormone therapy.
Yeah.
You got it. You nailed it on the head. The medical system has created the holes where there is now more harm being done to women in the name of do no harm.
Right. And so it's one of the things for Momwell friends who are listening that I am probably going to end up certified in the next year or two. Who knows?
Yay!
Because as we talk about perinatal and we move and we grow together and support each other yeah. as a community, perimenopause and menopause is sort of some of those next major milestones on this journey that we're on.
I can't tell you how vital it is. I see so many women, you know, going through menopause while their kids are now going through puberty.
Like, it's kind of like a cruel way for that to be designed, you know? Like,
it is
cruel.
And we are parenting our whole lives. I have three kiddos too. I've got a 7 and a 5 and a 2.5-year-old. And we talk a lot about generational wealth and keeping our families, but generational health is actually where it's at.
Mm.
If you feel really healthy, and especially through the perimenopause and menopause years, your kids are not toddlers anymore. Now they're going to high school and they're having big people problems. But if you're having big people problems too,
mm-hmm.
it makes it really, really hard. So I can't tell you how much I see motherhood actually being really difficult in perimenopause and menopause when your symptoms have just, you know, gone haywire and you've ignored them for far too long.
Yeah. And then you've got children going through puberty who are all kinds of emotional and all the things. It's just not a nice combination.
It is a cruel nature trick.
Yeah. It's like, why?
It is nothing short of that.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming and spending the time today. As I said, this is such an interest of mine as we grow in our milestones and tracking with our community. So appreciate you being here. I'd love for those who are listening to submit any questions or follow-ups you might have for Dr. Heather, or areas that you would like for us to explore in terms of perimenopause and menopause. But in the meantime, to learn about your menopause type from your book, where can people find your book? Where can they learn more from you? I love your videos and content, by the way. Where can they learn more from you?
Thank you. You can find me on all social media. I'm at Heather Hirsch, MD. And probably the best place to grab the book is Amazon. I do have some more information all about the book on my website. And I really, truly thank you for having me on the show. And I really thank you for being so open about your own journey and your own symptoms, because that is truly how we can learn from each other and stop the generational, you know, mishap of not talking about this phase of life.
Yeah. We'll link all of your, like the book and your community and all of that in our show notes so people can easily click through and find you. Again, appreciate you so much. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
I learned so much from this conversation with Dr. Heather and from her book. When I was growing up, nobody was talking to me about menopause, and I'm sure that it was the same for most of you. We have collectively had to figure out a lot of things on our own. But that is one of the benefits of social media, an ability to bring that awareness and understanding in an accessible way so that maybe we can break the stigma and start having more open discussions about formerly taboo topics. It truly enrages me that there is not more understanding about menopause, even in the medical world. Everyone with a uterus experiences this. We are talking about more than half of the population, and yet we are so minimized, misunderstood, and dismissed. Moms who struggle with postpartum depression or anxiety are at higher risk for mood disruptions in menopause, making it even more important for us to talk about it and be on the lookout for mental health symptoms. I have only recently started to fully understand the impact of my hormones on my health, the way that they impact my ADHD symptoms, the way they affect my mood, the way they change how I show up as a mom, a partner, and a business owner. They can change my view of the world, my ability to focus, my productivity, my sleep. We're not talking about minor things here. We're talking about real quality of life. And we deserve to have that quality of life, and we deserve to feel well. I want you to know that if you're out there struggling with mental health symptoms that might be related to perimenopause or menopause, now is the time to gather the information. Take a few minutes to jot down some of the things that Dr. Heather mentioned. Your symptoms, your sleep, your mood, your feelings of overwhelm. Take a few minutes every night to just write them down, then start to see if you can find patterns. And if you do, go advocate for yourself. Find a doctor who will listen to you. And if your quality of life is suffering, push for treatment options. If you're thinking, oh, I'll just put it off or I'm too busy, I get it. It can feel like another thing on the to-do list. But you matter. Your health matters. And when you are well, your children will benefit so much more than if you are silently struggling. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Take a few minutes to send me a DM or leave a review. And if you thought of a mom friend who might be dealing with this, send them the episode. Let me know if you want more menopause content, and I'll be sure to book more guests and focus on this more. And in the meantime, if you're carrying symptoms, even if you think they're related to hormones or menopause, I want you to know that you can receive mental health support that can help. A therapist can even help empower you to advocate for yourself. Book a free virtual consultation with a mom therapist at momwell.com/booking. That's momwell.com/booking. I'll see you right back here, same time, same place next week, where I'm being joined by mental load TikToker Zach Watson to discuss how partners can share in the invisible load and reduce mental labor for moms. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you right back here next week. I can't even begin to tell you how happy and honored I am that you choose to spend your time here with me each week. If you're looking for resources or links from today's show, or you need a refresh on anything we've talked about, visit our show notes. You can find the link in the episode description, or you can head directly to momwell.com/learningcenter. To join the Momwell email list and be the first one to know about new episode drops, insider info, or freebies, head to momwell.com/newsletter. Join me next week. Until then, remember that you have to be well to mom well.
Settling is not an option for me.
Everything I desire is already mine.
What if you can have it all?
Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome to For the Girls podcast, hosted by Victoria Alario, for the girls who want more. Listening to For the Girls will have you ready to raise the bar, stop settling for the bare minimum, and start believing you can have it all, and step into the 2.0 version of you. You can catch a new episode of For the Girls every Monday across all podcast platforms. Until next time, girls.